truly we're thankful to the God of heaven who continues to do all things well, in that He hath lengthened out the brittly threads of our physical lives and have called our golden moments just to roll on a little bit further. And because of that, we ought to be eternally grateful. Certainly, we know that God is good. He's good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But I want to say, first of all, that we have certainly enjoyed ourselves in this meeting this week. I want to say thank you to Brother Justin Reed, whom I have come to love even greater. I would often see him when he was at DeHoff's. We would often talk from time to time. But certainly I appreciate him, appreciate his wife who's by his side, and I want you to continue to pray for the Reeds. Amen. Being a gospel preacher is not easy, and especially being a preacher's wife. We understand that, but I appreciate our preachers and our preachers' wives. Thank you, Brother Joy, for leading us in that beautiful prayer, reminding us of how important our responsibilities are as we continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in its simplicity and in its facts and truths. I appreciate Brother Johnny for leading us in the beautiful songs every night. Just seems like he knows just what I need and the songs that I need before I stand before you. And I say thank you to him and his wife for their work's sake. And every member that's here, every individual, we certainly are grateful that you have chosen to come tonight. I know that it is a Wednesday night, and usually on a Wednesday night, Brother Justin, folks have their congregation, so we understand that. But that's why it's good that we can still come together. Because as I said, I've enjoyed this week, and the wife, we've enjoyed riding over each evening, and we appreciate so very much. We talked about this particular series of lessons simply to tell the truth, and that's what we've tried to do. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, as we looked at the Bible study, that Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and it's the truth that will make you free." So we talked about the truth that makes men free. On Sunday morning, we dealt with a little evangelism, sharing with you the fact that the harvest is white, but the workers are on strike. It seems like we're on strike, Brother Joy, more so now than it used to be. I know GM is still on strike, but we have some folk in the Lord's church that's on strike as well. So we need to realize how important lost souls are. And I appreciate the work that Brother Joy is doing with the gospel of Christ. And we appreciate that. Matter of fact, we've got to get him to Lynchburg where he can share that message to my folk. But we appreciate so very much the work that he does in this field. But so we dealt with that on Sunday morning. Sunday evening we talked about from Revelation 2 and verses 8 through 10. What must I do to remain faithful? We need to realize that there are some things that we must do in order to be saved, as was asked on Pentecost and as asked by the Philippian jailer on one occasion. But we need to realize there are some things that we must do to remain faithful, and we looked at that on Sunday evening. Then on Monday night, we talked to those, hopefully, who have fallen by the wayside, who have left home but need to come back. And we talked about God is calling the prodigal. And so y'all know what that was about, the prodigal son. God, he let him go. He let him sow his wild oats. He let him grow, hopefully, from that. And also, he let him know that he was still welcome back home. So we looked at that on Monday night. Then on last night, we talked about seeing the church through Christ's eyes. So we looked at the church, Matthew 16, 13 through 19. Talked about church, Jesus, the big rock, and Peter, the little stone. So the big rock versus the little rock. But nevertheless, we know that the church of Christ is going to stand forever. And we've got to continue to preach it. Amen. Not only preach the church, preach the things concerning the kingdom, as Philip did over there in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 8, rather. Beginning at verses 5 all through that whole chapter. So if you didn't get all of that, just hopefully he's recording tonight. And he said he's already got the others. So just listen to those CDs or listen online or whatever you do. But hopefully, especially, if you're not a child of God, we want you to do just that. Tonight, we're going to invite your attention to the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke. Meet me at verse number 33 of chapter 23. Meet me at verse 33 of chapter 23 of the book of Luke, and I will give you the subject in just a few moments. Brother Howard Knox, we appreciate you who will be closing us out in prayer this evening. But again, to this entire congregation, thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Amen. Thank you for your encouraging words, even though I know that some folk have said, man, that was one of the best sermons. I know it wasn't probably, but amen. But I appreciate you saying that anyway. Kind of remind me, Brother Joy, of the preacher who went to a congregation, and after the sermon, a fellow came out and said, that was a warm sermon. And so he didn't really understand what that meant. Went on the next Sunday, he preached, came out and said, man, that was a warm sermon. And then, you know, it wasn't too long after that, he started feeling good, head getting a little big. And he asked the fellas, he was coming out one Sunday, there were several people coming around out behind them going out the door. He said, hey, fella, you remember you told me the other day that was a warm sermon? What did you mean by that? He said, not so hot. Not so hot. So, but nevertheless, I trust that we have been able to preach God's word in its simplicity and in its facts. Amen. Paul tells us to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. He said, for the time will come, 2 Timothy 4, when men will not endure sound doctrine. And then they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I believe, Brother Justin, that we are living in that time today where men do not really want to hear sound doctrine anymore. But as Brother Joy mentioned in his prayer, we still must preach the gospel. How shall men hear without a preacher? And how shall they hear except one be sent? Romans 10, 13 and following. I like what Paul said though in Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's get right into the lesson. But again, to the congregation here at Wood, I appreciate, this is my first time being here, but I certainly appreciate the opportunity to come and to share with you, thus said the Lord. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged rose on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. As I mentioned throughout this meeting, the lesson for this evening is simply entitled, what color is the cross? What color is the cross? The crucifixion in color was the advertisement of a firm which specialized in religious motion pictures. The crucifixion, brothers and sisters, is always in color. How do you know? When I look in the book of Ephesians, the chapter is 3. And the verse is number 10. I hear the Apostle Paul say these words, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Y'all see that? When I look at that word manifold, we find that manifold means variegated. It means multicolored. See, the Greeks used this word when they spoke of flowers with their varieties of colors. Or when they were talking about a cloth with its brilliant designs. So truly, when I look at the cross, I see God's wisdom, and it appears to be multicolored. Truly at the cross, we can truly say that it was multicolored. So I ask this evening, what color is the cross? I know you may look at that piece of wood and say, it was just wood. It was brown. He was nailed to it. But I see, as I let my eyes and my spiritual vision, as I think about it by faith, The cross had many colors. Matter of fact, first of all, Brother Justin, the cross that my Lord died on, it was black. Why was it black, preacher? Because sin nailed it there. That's why it was black. Because sin it was that nailed my Lord to that cross. The blackness that settled over the cross at noon, it was symbolic of the blackness of sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. Sin, as you know, is blacker than hell. And it is worse than Satan. For had there been no sin, there would have been no hell. Had there been no sin, there would have been no Satan. Had there been no sin, there would have been no Calvary. But as you know, as well as I, we've already sung the songs about the cross. As you know, as you read from God's Word tonight, that yes, the cross was necessary because it was sin that nailed Jesus to that cross. Yes, have you ever noticed the repetitious emphasis in the Scriptures on the fact that sin made the cross a necessity? That sin truly nailed Jesus to that cross. I want you to be turning with me, if you will, to the book of Isaiah, that messianic text that we read often. Go to the 53rd of the book of Isaiah. And I want us to go down to verse number 5 for emphasis' sake. I need to just touch on these verses real quick. But I hear the Bible say that Christ, speaking of Him, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Drop down to verse number 6. Because I hear Isaiah said, all we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You see why the cross was necessary. Because it was sin that put Him on that cross. Drop down to verse number 8. Here the Bible says that He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. Drop down to verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He had put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Go to verse number 12. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I don't know about you, but every time I read those verses, it lets me know that sin was in the making. Amen, lights. Sin was there. And in Isaiah 53, the messianic prophet, he references this fact. But not only that, when you go to Matthew chapter 26, let me give you some New Testament passages. Matthew 26 and verse 28, we find that it was Christ who shed His blood for the remission of our sins. He did that. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, it was Jesus who was delivered for our offenses, our sins. He shouldn't even have been on that cross. It should have been us, but it was He who was delivered for our offenses. When I go to the book of Romans, the chapter is 5, round about verse number 6. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, perhaps, for a good man will some even dare to die. Look at verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, what did Christ do? He died for us. Didn't he do that? He died for us. Aren't you glad he died for us? And I know we may not say that we're glad that he died, but had he not died, we'd all be most miserable. Amen. We'd all be miserable. But thank God he did it. He did it because he loved us. And I'll say more about that in a minute. But when you go to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 3, notice the Bible tells us that God sent his Son to die for the sin of the world. Look what he said. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son. You see that? In the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's what God did. What are you saying? I'm simply trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, that it was sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. That's why it was black. Oh yes, the Bible tells in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, though he knew no sin, he was made to be sin for us. In other words, he didn't know any sin. He didn't do anything wrong, but it was us. And the Bible says he had to die for us. Hebrews 9 and verse 28, Jesus Christ, he was offered to bear the sins of many. Where did he do it? He did it on that cross. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible tells me that Christ, his own self, bare our sins in his own body. Where? On the tree. So I stopped to tell you that sin was of such a nature, brothers and sisters, and is of such an essence that Calvary had to be. Thus, never let us take sin. Don't take it lightly. Don't take sin lightly. And I tell you what, if you have a problem and want to know what sin is, just go to Galatians 5, 19 through 21. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. That's a start right there. Don't believe me? Go to Romans chapter 1 and just read the whole chapter. As the late Brother Keeble used to say, you'll run into it. Amen. Just keep on reading. You'll run into it. But all of these are showing how that there's so much debauchery, there's so much sin in the world. And even when you say the word sin, Brother George, we need to understand when you pronounce it, you can still almost hear the hissing from Satan, from the old serpent. Sin. Y'all get that? Hiss. That's that old hiss. Coming from the serpent. And guess what? Seems like I can just feel Brother Johnny, feel the sting of his vein when I talk about sin. Because, you know, we look at sin differently. Man looks at sin differently than the way God looks at it. Amen. You can say amen. See, man looks at sin differently from the way God looks at it. See, man calls sin an accident. But you know what God calls it? God calls it abomination. See, man calls sin a blunder. But you know what God calls it? He calls it a blindness. Man calls sin a chance, but God calls sin a choice. Man calls sin a fascination, but God calls sin a fatality. Man calls sin infamy, but God calls sin iniquity. Man calls sin a luxury, but God calls sin lawlessness. Man calls sin a trifle, but God, he calls sin a tragedy. Man calls sin a weakness, but I'm here to tell you tonight that God calls it a madness. Amen, lights and walls. It was sin that platted the crown of thorns on my Savior's head. It was sin that drove those spikes into his hands and into his feet. It was sin that thrust that old spear into his side and out came blood and water. That's what it was. It was sin that ejected that spittle that came from those individuals who hated Christ as they were spitting upon him and that hurled those sarcastic remarks about it. Friends, as we stand beneath that cross tonight, feel the warm blood of the Savior's open vein trickling upon us. And as our eyes see His mangled body and our ears hear His excruciating groans, how could anyone, we or anyone else, love to indulge in sin? Oh, yes. It ought to cause us to want to weep. But there are so many who are indulging into sin. How could anyone do otherwise than to do what Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9? And that is, abhor evil and cleave to that which is good. Someone has said, Brother Reed, for sin it were that slew him, and not the hand of men. Judge then the consequences of just one sinner's sin. Yes, Calvary's cross, it was black because sin nailed Jesus to it. But not only was it black, but guess what? The cross that I'm familiar with, it was white. For Christ was perfect. That's why I say it was white tonight. Such would not have been so if you and I had died on the cross, because we are not perfect. We make mistakes in this life, for we are sinful creatures. I hear John saying in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7 that if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But then what did He say? He said, if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then in verse 10 He says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Friends, we need to understand that John is letting us know that yes, Jesus Christ died for our sins. Though He had done no violence, neither was there any guile, any deceit found in His mouth. He was bruised, put to grief, and His soul was made an offering for sin, according to Isaiah 53, verses 9 and 10. There are many scriptures that affirm the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. And for emphasis and time's sake, let me give you just the scriptures, and I'll touch on one or two. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 7, that's the one I want. Verses 26 and 27. Let me go to that one real quick. Hebrews chapter 7. And the verses are 26 and 27. For the Bible says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for His own sins and then for the people's. For this He did once when He offered up Himself. Oh, brothers and sisters, when I look at passages like that, I see the sinlessness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another passage I want you to look at, 1 Peter chapter 2. Round about verse number 21, I hear the Bible saying, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He would revile, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. There it is, the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. I stopped to tell you that my Lord, He had to stand in our place. And He did that when He died on the cross. To those who dogged His steps, those who scrutinized His life, He could truly say in John 8 and verse number 46, "Which of you convinces me of sin or can prove that I'm guilty of sin?" He told those of His day. But guess what? Those in Jesus' day, they could not find one flaw in His character. They could not find one misdemeanor in His life. They could not find one discrepancy in His doctrine. The sinlessness of Christ was prefigured by the spotless Lamb of God offered under the Old Testament. And I hear Peter saying about the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning about verse number 18. The Bible said, "For as much as we know, or ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus." There it is right there. "As a lamb without blemish and without spot." This same Jesus that I'm talking about this evening, He had to die for the sin of the world. And if Christ had sinned, He would have been a sinner, Justin. But because He would have also been in need of a Savior. Because let me tell you something. He who needs a Savior cannot be a Savior. But I stopped to tell you this evening that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Thus to function as our Savior, as He did, He had to be sinlessly perfect. We can easily see that only the perfect Son of God could adequately pay the price for the sin of the world. How grateful you and I ought to be tonight that Calvary's cross was white, for there He was perfect who hung on that cross. But then thirdly, what color is the cross? I stopped to tell you tonight it was red because Jesus shed His blood on that cross. In the scheme of redemption, there's always been efficacy attached to the blood. The word efficacy simply means the ability to produce a desired or intended result. You had to have an effect. Well, you remember in Genesis chapter 4 when Cain killed his brother Abel. You know what God said. He told him, He asked him where he was, and Cain acted like he didn't know, had amnesia. But you know what? God told him, "The blood of your brother is going to cry up from the ground." In other words, He said, "Your brother's blood is going to cry up from the ground." In other words, He let him know that there was power in the blood. Am I right about it? Oh, yes. Even those on the Passover, in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, if you read that chapter, you'll find out how that God had told the children of Israel that they had to put a blood on the doorpost because Pharaoh would never let the children of God go. And you know the story. You know what happened. God told him, "This last plague is really going to get them because I'm going to take the firstborn of every household." And He said, "I want you to put some blood on the doorpost." And then He went on to say, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." In other words, every house that had blood on the doorpost, God was able to pass over it. But those who didn't have blood on the doorpost, the firstborn was taken away. And Pharaoh lost his son. And in that particular incident, what are you saying? I'm saying there is power in the blood. Am I right about it? Power in the blood. However, prior to Calvary's cross, all the blood that was shed was the blood of animals. Y'all remember that? Such blood, brothers and sisters, can never take away the sin of the world. So don't think that you can have an animal and kill it, and that animal was going to be able to help you to get through the various sins that you may have. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, as we're going to come to our conclusion in just a few moments. But Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at verse number 1 very quickly. For the Bible says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they are offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year." That's what was going on then. But notice what he said in verse 4. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." I stop to tell you, brothers and sisters, that it had to be more than the blood of an animal. Amen, lights. However, friends, these animal sacrifices, they were only a shadow. When I look at the text, I find that they were only a shadow of the coming of Calvary's cross, of the shedding of Christ's blood, according to Hebrews 10, 1-4. For an example, you cannot pick or pluck fruit from the shadow cast by the tree. However, if you will follow the shadow, Brother Justin, eventually it's going to lead you to the real thing. Is that all right? So you cannot pluck fruit from the shadow cast by the tree, but you can follow that shadow, and it will lead you to the actual tree where you can gather the fruit. I just stopped to tell you, by the same token, the blood of animals could never really take away sins, but such did lead men to the cross where Christ shed his blood, which definitely has the power to take away sins. Someone may ask, "Well, Brother Whitaker, what are some blessings that we enjoy? What are some blessings that we enjoy as a result of Christ shedding his blood on the cross?" Well, one thing we can get is we can get redemption. We can enjoy redemption. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. "Who have delivered us from the power of darkness, who have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption." Isn't that something? "Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." The word "redeem" simply means to buy back. Thus, in this word, the idea is of purchasing. According to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, the Bible tells us that we have been bought with a price. What have that price been? The blood of Jesus Christ. Let me get ready to close the lesson, but I want to illustrate it by telling you about a little boy one time who had had a toy boat, and he had made this boat, and he put it on the water. And as he put it on the water, the wind blew up, and it began to cause his boat to sail farther and farther away from it, and he couldn't get it. And so finally he just gave up and said, "Well, I guess I lost my boat." Well, it wasn't too long after that, Justin, that he went to a hobby shop. Some of y'all remember what hobby shops are. Went to a hobby shop, and he saw his boat in the window. And he said, "That's my boat." He went in there, and he asked the man who was behind the counter. He said, "Sir, that's my boat. I made that boat a long time ago. I put it on the water, and it got lost." The man said, "Well, son, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to pay for this boat." And so the young man said, "Okay." He ran home, broke into his piggy bank, and he came back, and he said, "Here's the money for my boat." And the man said, "Well, you can have your boat." And as the boy went out, he was seen hugging his boat, and he said, "Justin, little boat, you're mine, twice mine." He said, "I made you, now I bought you, but you're now mine again." This is exactly what the Lord is saying to us. He said, "I made you, but now I had to buy you. How'd you buy me, Lord? I bought you by shedding my blood on the cross. I died so that you might have hope of eternal life. I hear the Apostle Paul saying in Acts 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. I hear the Apostle Paul saying in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I could go on and on, but time is at an essence tonight. We are also enjoy not only redemption, but we enjoy remission. Matthew 26 and 28, the Bible tells us that Jesus died for the remission of our sins. See, the idea behind the word remission is that of canceling a debt. See, all of us is glad, we're glad to hear when somebody say that I've canceled your debt. I'm right about it. And since sin is a debt, Matthew 6 and verse number 12, this is a wonderful way to describe what God does when he forgives our sins. He cancels our debt. In other words, it's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and upon our obedience to his will that God is able to write across our account, pay in full. It's always good, Brother Justin, to be able to hear when you paid off that old car or that house, hear somebody stamp on that contract, paid in full. In the spiritual sense, Jesus Christ have done the same thing for you and I. He said, your account have been paid in full because I died on that cross for your sins. We can also enjoy reconciliation, Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and following. And that word is from the prefix re, again, and conciliate, to make friends. This word reconciliation means to make friends again. See, I told you a few moments ago that Paul tells us that one time we were enemies, but now since we're in Christ, he died for us. We've been made friends again. And so man truly and desperately needs these blessings because his sins have separated him from his God, and also because his friendship with the world, he's an enemy to God. James 4 and verse number 4, the need of reconciliation that thus results is supplied by Christ having died on the cross. You say, Brother Whitaker, what else? What else? What's the other color? Well, I call it silver. Sometimes you have to let your spiritual mind just go back and think about the colors. You think about black because sin put him there. You think about the cross being white because Christ was perfect. You think about it being red because Jesus died and shed his blood. But you know what? I think it was silver. Because when I look at silver, I think about the love that God had for man. John 3 and verse 16, I've got it on the front of my car, on the license plate that I got at D-Hoss. I got it, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. I hear what Paul said, that God commended his love toward us, Romans 5 and 8, that he commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, what did Christ do? He died for us. What are you saying? I'm saying that the cross, it was black because sin put Christ there. It was white because Christ was sinless. He was not a sinner like man. It was red because he shed his blood. And that blood bought the church. That blood washed our sins away. And it was silver because God loved us so much that he was willing to send his Son to die for us. If you're here this evening and you hadn't thought about the cross being multicolored, I trust tonight that you will think seriously about it. If you're not a child of God, you've heard God's word. Romans 10:17 So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Will you believe the same? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. The writer said, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thirdly, repent of your sin. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 17, 30, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at or overlooked. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Then you've got to confess with your mouth that Christ, Jesus, is the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess him before my Father, which is in heaven. And then last but not least, you've got to be baptized. Allow the blood of Christ to cleanse you from your sins. The Bible tells us over there in Matthew, or Romans 16 and verse 16, the churches of Christ salute you. But before you can get into the church, you got to be baptized. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. 1 Peter 3, 21. The like figure, unto baptism, doth also now save us. Not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience and faith toward God. Remain faithful unto death. Revelation 2, 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you're here this evening, brothers and sisters and child of God, but somewhere down the road of life, you stumble, you've fallen. You are like that prodigal son who's gone back out into the beggarly elements of the world. Why not say yes to Jesus tonight? Say no to Satan. Say that I've decided that I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm not going to turn back. If you're here tonight, we've talked about the cross. What color is it? If anybody asks you, they say, well, that cross is just brown wood. No, no, no. It's more to it than that, Brother Joy. See, the cross is black. Tell them it was black because sin put the Lord there. Tell them that it was white because Jesus died and he was sinless. He didn't sin, had no sin in him at all. It was red because he shed his blood on that cross. And it was silver because of love. God's love for us and God's love for all of us. John 3, 16. And the Bible tells us that if you want to go to heaven, you've got to be in the church that Jesus died for. He died for this church. We talked about that last night. The church of Christ. Not a denominational body, but the church. Singular. He's coming back for it. Romans 16, 16. Salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ. Salute you. I've said enough tonight to say the world. But you know what? I'm just getting warm, Brother Justin. And I tell you what, amen. I'm just getting warm. But we got to quit. I know that. And I appreciate you for taking time out of your schedules to come. And hopefully something that we've said might help somebody. Maybe you can take this lesson and share it with your neighbors, your friends, even your enemies. Encourage them to be a member of the Lord's church. Tell them about the Jesus that died for our sins. Sin is running rampant. But you know, as I tell folk everywhere I go, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I hope you do too. And I hope you're so excited about being a member of the Lord's church that even if a mosquito bit you, it'll leave here singing, there is power in the blood. Amen. Some of y'all get that later on. There's power in the blood. And we ought to be able to tell for there is power in the blood. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, why not say yes to Jesus? Say no to Satan. Say, I've decided that I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm not going to turn back. Brother Johnny's going to lead us in our invitation song, and we invite you to come and together stand and sing.